Merry Christmas, Bucks fans. It is so good to be here on the Ira Kaufman podcast, starring the great sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. Ira, I cannot believe we are going to 2019, and Ira got here to Tampa after years covering the New York Giants in 1985 to cover this team, our beloved Bucks, and he's still here going strong. As all of you know, the podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. They reopen tomorrow, the 26th, ready with all of their great end-of-the-year offers. You want to go to the websites, edmorsecadillactampa.com. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa is just west of 275 on Fletcher. And then Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, they're right there on Causeway Boulevard. The website, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. The dealerships are the only Cadillac dealerships in Hillsborough County, but they are special for far more reasons than that. Ed Morse Service, 70-plus years, family-owned dealerships across the state of Florida, taking care of our listeners and people across the Bay Area for so many years, doing so much in our community. And the offers, I can't even tell you about them all. There are so many. You can see some at joebucksfan.com, but where you want to go for Cadillac luxury, and it's far more affordable than a lot of people think it is, especially now, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.com on the end of both of those. Those are the websites. Check out the beautiful new XT4, and of course, certified pre-owned Cadillacs are a tremendous opportunity. Lease offers. Get to the websites. We've been out at both dealerships. You've heard us talk about them. They support all of Ira's work on joebucksfan.com, edmorsecadillactampa.com, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. Now, I'm Steve Isbitz, one of the Joes at joebucksfan.com, and we have a different podcast today for two reasons. One, we thought it would be really neat to sit down with a real Bucks fan, a serious, hardcore, thinking Bucks fan, and a friend of ours, Dr. David Wenk. Many of you have seen his advertisement on joebucksfan.com. Dr. Wenk, wow, I would not want his job. And thank God there's people like him in the world doing such a great work out there. And you can click on his banner at joebucksfan.com and see his story as a medical oncologist. But anyway, Dr. Wenk is a super fan. And we just decided, hey, you know, Doc, we want to get some fan perspective. Yes, we're fans. I'm a fan at joebucksfan.com. We're turning Ira into a fan in a way beyond what he was with his Chiefs. Ira, of course, regular listeners know Ira is a serious Chiefs fan, but he roots for the Bucks now. He doesn't have to pretend anymore since he's left the Tampa Tribune. He's becoming more and more of a real fan. In the sense that you and I are. And, of course, Lee DeKemper, joebucksfan.com. He's a fan, too. I used to go sit in the 300 section with Lee to watch Bucks games. He was a season ticket holder before joebucksfan.com launched. So you guys know our story. But, you know, we, of course, lose a little perspective as media guys who get to know players and coaches and get all sorts of things sent to us from inside One Buck Palace. And so we're not typical fans. There's no way we can pretend to be, even though we're serious fans. So it was good to sit down and talk some Bucks, present and future, mostly future, but some big, broad topics with a serious fan and debate it. So that's what we have for you today. Now, the other reason that's what we have for you today is because Ira and I got together yesterday and I screwed up. I dropped the ball. I met Ira, we were all set to do the podcast, and I forgot the essential piece of podcast equipment, and I couldn't figure out a way to get it just right on my phone, which was just not going to work, and of course, Ira couldn't figure that out either, and we were screwed, and all that Christmas traffic, and you know, I couldn't just zip home, and Ira, of course, is saying, hey, can't your wife drive this thing up here to us? No, Ira, my wife has a job. Thankfully, she earns a lot more money than I do, which is always a good thing. So Sage is here, but he's not here. But you're going to hear the Sage in about a minute. And Lee, who is back from Dallas, and myself and Dr. Wenk talking Bucks. And a few points of note that are important. One, the podcast is available to you on joebucksfan.com, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, and many other podcast platforms. On those platforms, you could subscribe. You get an alert when the podcast posts shortly after, and then it's in your phone and you can click on it easily and listen and all that fun stuff. We appreciate all the subscribers. Ira's podcast kicks butt, especially on iTunes, Google Play. As you know, he's been in the top 50 in the entire nation. Right now, he's in the top 50 in only sports-themed podcasts, but that's still an accomplishment for sure. And the Sage rocks, as always. We're going to be at One Buck Palace tomorrow, Wednesday, and we're going to go deeper than we go today and maybe even pop out an extra podcast. We're also planning to record an emergency podcast when Dirk Cutter gets fired, depending on when that is, but we will be ready for you after that. And we have a couple of surprises in store with that. Fingers crossed, something we're going to be doing. So a lot more meat on the podcast bone than usual this week and going into next week. Excited about that. All of our family of podcasts on JoeBucksFan.com. I appreciate all your support of them. Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, which was firing 3 days a week, just capped off an excellent year. As our fantasy drafts, we had two associated as well, and the podcasts are really kicking butt. Todd will be back next year, and there's going to be something new coming out called the Toddcast to take you through the off season. And Todd's going to get into some other topics. So many of you enjoyed listening to him on ESPN Radio. He's going to sort of get back into diving into a little bit more. Now, of course, Tom Lang, our Joe Bolts fan podcast, hockey podcast, covering the Lightning, is fantastic. You can subscribe to that on the platforms. And you know whose podcast is the hot one right now, really making a move in a big way as far as subscribers and listeners? Bobby Fenton with the Free Stretch every Thursday on JoeBucksFan.com. Bobby keeps it real. And I know I just enjoy the real fan perspective. Plus, Bobby's been in the media for many years. He's out of it now. I mean, I guess he's in it because he's with JoeBucksFan.com. But it's a different kind of situation, and he does a great job. We want you to subscribe to that as well and keep listening. And my podcast is going to be firing tomorrow morning. I'm going to be cutting it a little bit later. I didn't do it yesterday. Today's Christmas. It'll be Ira's Day. And that will go Monday Morning Joe, the podcast. I appreciate your support there. And, of course, Bucks Uncensored. It's going to be a wild scene for Bucks Uncensored as we hopefully get to regime change. All right, so enough of me talking to you, but I hope everybody has a wonderful Christmas holiday, whatever it is you do, even if you're not religious and you're just enjoying the day off or enjoying the time with family and friends or just soaking in some peace. And we wish you a wonderful new year, but we'll be talking to you before that. And just good things for everybody. We're grateful at JoeBucksFan.com. It's been a phenomenal year for us in the sense of our traffic keeps growing. And Ira, of course, his podcast keeps growing, and that's why you're here. So thank you again. And again, here we are sitting down, myself, Lee, Ira, and Dr. David Wank, getting into some fan chatter. And please, again, remember Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Support them. Check them out on their websites. Here we go. All right, Ira, we're stepping out of the comfort zone here a little bit. We're bringing in a super fan for some real talk about the Bucks, not our jaded media perspective after your 77 years covering the NFL. We got Dr. David Wank with us, of course. Dr. Dave is seen on JoeBucksFan.com. We appreciate all of his support and are grateful to be here. But more important than that is that he's a hardcore Bucks fan. Welcome, Dave, Doc. I don't know what Ira's going to call you, Wank. He's got a name for everybody.
Well, DW. You know, look, I crossed paths with Dr. Wank a couple of years ago. He knew all about the site. He knew all about the podcast. He knew all about me. We've had a great friendship for a couple of years, and I've come to learn the man should probably be taking over this podcast because he might know more football than the three of us. So it's about my pleasure to introduce Dr. David Wank. David, I'd like you to start a little bit by expressing your frustration.
You know, I moved here in 04. You know, I missed the glory days to watch this train wreck of a franchise the last 14 years. And just when I get excited this year up in New Orleans watching a magical win, it's over. Actually, it was October that was over. Here we are, December, another lost month, another lost year. You know, frustration, I'm used to it, though.
You never saw the seven losses out of 8 weeks coming. You never saw it coming.
I'll tell you, 2-0, I was saying, okay, you know, Super Bowl's in Atlanta, all right, you know, playing in January, where's the home playoff game? You know, where are we going to go for the playoffs? And not so much.
Can you pinpoint two or three things that have gone kablooey for this team this year?
You know, the obvious is the Winston thing. Him missing those 3 weeks and then coming back. You know, I think the worst thing for Jameis was Fitz playing well, because now he's looking over his shoulder. I think he's second guessing him. He's got enough of the off the field problems that people are talking about. Confidence is shot, and now you got pressure on him. You have a contract next year, and put Cutter in a bad situation. What's Cutter going to do? Who's he going to play? When they say when you got two quarterbacks, you really got none.
Of course, you got the defense. Well, you don't have the defense.
Well, when's the last time the Bucs had a defense? You know, every time it's third and 20, I feel it's just like it's third and one.
You think there's any truth to the suggestion, Dave, that different cities are known for different things in terms of their football team? And Brenton Buckner said it the first day he came to town. I asked him, and he said, Tampa's a defensive football town. That they love their defense. That when the glory days, it was built on backs of the Saps and the Brookses and the Lynches and the Rondes. Any truth to that?
Yeah, you know, I think that's the image that Tampa has, and everyone, you know, because Tampa hasn't won since those days, and I think people still think of the great defense of Brooklyn Saps. But now, I mean, we're talking offense. Okay, the first two games, it's the offense. Okay, this prolific offense, you know, maybe three best receivers in football, but we still can't win a game. And it's, you know, from a fan standpoint, it's how frustrating can you put up, you know, 30-something points and lose a game? You know, the defense is nowhere to be found.
Is the die cast in your eyes about the need for a new regime?
The one thing in Bucs land, we say you sell hope. And, you know, right now there is no hope unless you can get a new coach. You know, we've seen the story over and over. 6-10, 5-11, it's every other year, same thing.
You can't have people talking about the draft in December, right? I mean, that's a bad sign.
I mean, that's what we do in Tampa.
That's what we do in October, Ira. Come on, December. What are you talking about? Hey, I just realized that since we are cutting this podcast in two, Lee DeCamper is back with us here on the podcast. So good to see you, Lee.
I survived Dallas.
He did. All right, look.
The Pecan Lodge, man.
Dr. Wink, have you thrown a remote control? Because Lee and I write that a lot on Joe Bucks Fan, that you throw the remote. Have you kicked the cat? Have you screamed at a neighbor? Have you done anything in rage these last handful of years about your Bucks?
I think my wife thinks I'm a lunatic. You know, watching me watch the Bucks is probably pretty painful. It used to be frustration, and now it's gotten to the point where I just expect it. So it's like you see them up 14-3 against the Saints. It's like I almost expect a loss. You know, it's like you lose that edge. You lose that confidence that every Bucs fan, it's like, okay, when's the shoe going to drop? You know, there's no confidence the Bucs are ever going to hold on to
the lead. That's what a lost decade will do to you, Steve.
Well, you know, all you guys can answer this because I think it's great perspective. Do you think the team feels that way, right? Because the fans feel that way. The team, the players are experiencing this crap. And people talk about culture. It's a weird word. But do you see that from the guys on the field that they sort of maybe subconsciously or otherwise think they're going to lose?
You know, I wouldn't surprise me. I mean, look, every player, I mean, go back to Dotson, he's probably the longest tenured Buck. They're all used to losing. None of them have won. So in their minds, I mean, all they know is losing. They don't know about winning.
McCoy.
So, yeah. McCoy, you know, finished his career probably never making a playoff game. And so those guys get to the fourth quarter. It's the same old thing. You know, we're going to blow a lead. We're not going to come back. We're not going to make the plays to win. I think it's ingrained, unfortunately, in their mindset.
Now, Lee DeCamper, sitting right here to my left and across from you, has been a stalwart Winston supporter, strong, and gives a lot of good reasons to back it up. Even during the mid-year benching, Lee was pretty strong, like, don't give up on this kid. Don't turn the page on this kid. Who's out there? How are you going to do better? Don't dump them unless you're going to do better. And he didn't think they could. What's your feelings going forward with Winston?
You know, I told you this. I've been a big Winston supporter, you know, all through, you know, the off-the-field problems. I think in my mind, you have the hope of a 24-year-old with a strong arm. And you want to have that franchise quarterback that, you know, really the Bucs have never had. But that Bengals game, you know, that's still in my mind. You know, the turnovers, the dumb interceptions. And I'm still hopeful, though. I can't dump a 24-year-old quarterback. Because, again, you look around the league, who are you going to replace him with? I mean, who's out there? And don't tell me Teddy Bridgewater, Joe Flacco, all these guys. And don't tell me Jameis is too expensive. because a starting quarterback, Mike Glennon got $16 million. A starting quarterback's going to cost you $20 million.
18, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's the average price for quarterback in this league, whether you like it or not.
Joe Flacco's no cheaper than Jameis.
No, he's probably going to be more. I don't get the fans and that complain about the cost of a player. It's not their money. You know, go out and spend money and get a winning team. But, to save money on Jameis, it's just not going to happen.
Well, the thing with Jameis is, the people that complain about the salary, who is not on the roster the Bucs would have if not for Jameis? Tell me. I mean, that's why they're worried about, we could spend this money elsewhere. Who?
That's a good point. I remember, was it last year, maybe? How are we going to sign all these free agents? How are we going to keep our own? They sign them all.
Yeah.
The salary cap goes up every year. That's never a problem.
And how much is the salary cap, Steve, you said, is going up this year?
It's up $12 million and change. I got a question for you, Sage, and all of you guys. I want you to weigh in because I'm not trying to just be arbitrary here or play devil's advocate or spice up the podcast, but why is everybody so anti-Joe Flacco? I don't really get that, and maybe you guys can give me an answer. Not for this team, but in general, you say Joe Flacco, people are like, Joe Flacco. Why?
I'll give you a quick answer. He stunk last year. He stunk. If he was any good, they make the playoffs. I think they played the Bengals the last game of the year.
They did.
And lost to them. And the Bengals were terrible at that time. Flacco had a really bad year. And now he's been replaced by a rookie who doesn't really throw the ball very well.
A wishbone quarterback.
That's what I call him, a glorified wishbone quarterback.
Look, I watched the Bucs game last week like you guys. That guy's got a terrible throwing ball. He's all arm. He's all arm. So
actually, he's all leg.
So Lee, my answer is last time we saw Flacco, he wasn't any good.
Well, real quick, I used to be in Steve's boat. I used to be a Flacco supporter. The guy got two rings. What's wrong? But there's a reason. A team doesn't spend a first-round draft pick on a quarterback unless they have to. That's number one. I should tell you what you need to know about Flacco. And number two, like I said, it's one thing to be replaced by a first-round draft pick of a quarterback. But when you're replaced by a glorified wishbone quarterback, that speaks volumes. And he got benched. Flacco's benched. He's healthy. He's benched.
Maybe he goes to Jacksonville. It'd be an upgrade on Bortles.
Well, think about this. When's the last time a team in the run for a playoff, which the Ravens are, I call them the Crows. By the way, when you read Crows, that's me. Steve won't use Crows. I use Crows. But when a team needs wins to stay in a playoff race,
they got to win this game coming up.
And they turn to a rookie quarterback? That's virtually unheard of outside of Roethlisberger. That should tell you something about the status of Flacco in the NFL.
You share our views?
I do. And what's Flacco? What is he, 33, 34? So he's got 10 years on Jameis. I think the upside on Jameis is way more than what you're going to get in Flacco. And I can't throw away a 20. I can't watch another Bucs quarterback leave the organization, go somewhere else, and become the next Steve Young, and be in the Hall of Fame.
Dave, could you see Winston sticking around, raising his game, under probably under a different regime, and rehabbing his image to the point where he is the face of the franchise once again?
I go the whole Uber thing, it happened, 2 years ago?
Over 2 years ago.
I look at Winston. He's a father now. He's getting married if he's not married already. I mean, his life is very different. I look at the Uber thing that was a couple of years ago when he's grown up. Hopefully he's, keeping Darby away from him and getting his other FSU.
You should have been there the last time Ira got a yellow cab in Brooklyn. It was outrageous.
Darby was in the back seat with me.
His wife ought to get a restraining order for Jameis against Darby.
Darby will defend you, though. He'll come out. He'll always be an alibi.
Give the Kemper credit. He tracked down Darby Super Bowl.
I remember that.
He didn't like it.
He thought he was going to be asked about the, hey, how are you going to stop this wide receiver? Here comes the Kemper.
I did do that. The ultimate butter up. Guys are getting ready to play for the Super Bowl. He just got traded from Buffalo. That obviously wasn't on his radar. Super Bowl. Here he is getting ready to play in the Super Bowl. And I walk up to him like, that's my MO, I guess you could say. When you're going to ask tough questions, butter him up. And then slide in. Almost like a Stuttering John. Like Stuttering John. Stuttering John would have a butter-up question or two, then boom.
I never saw a guy refer so much to Stern. It's unbelievable.
Hey, he's the king of all media. Why would you not?
Right.
So anyway, I buttered up with a question like, I bet you feel blessed to be playing for a Super Bowl when you're coming from Buffalo. Oh, yeah, Addy. Big wide smile. All happy. Then I started hitting him with Jameis questions, and you could tell he didn't like it. And, the third question, I thought I might have been punched. He was, trying to walk away from me. He was getting very irritated. And I think my last question was, is Jameis a target? And you could see him exhale, finally, he's quit asking me about the name.
All the Philly writers are trying to ask about Gronkowski, and here comes the Kemper.
Well, an aside, the same situation, Super Bowl Media Day, the running back for the Patriots that went to Nashville. Like you said, everybody's asking him all these technical questions.
Deion Lewis.
They're asking him about the Eagles' defense, et cetera, et cetera. Then I come in and like, are you going back to the Patriots or are you going to test the free agent waters? You know, because the Bucks are going to be looking for a running back. He glared at me and pulled a oily Drew Rosenhaus.
David, you never know what the Kemper's going to say.
Never, never. Yeah, that's why we love him.
He dropped an oily Drew Rosenhaus on me. Next comment.
Set the stage for the fans out there. At the Super Bowl, I don't even know if you realize this, Dave. At the Super Bowl media day, the players have to talk for an hour to all this media that's out there. And if they don't talk, they get fined. Marshawn Lynch got fined notoriously for that. And you got to talk. And some guys are placed at a podium, almost in a little box where they can't get out. And they just field questions. And a lot of times, you know, the mainstream media will hit them with 20 minutes of questions, but they got another 40 minutes to go. And when I'm sitting there hammering somebody about, oh, you played for Greg Schiano in college, tell me this, tell me that, and Lee's peppering these guys, and LeGarrette Blount's at the Super Bowl, and we're just beating them up with Bucks questions. And gosh, I even got one into Belichick about Schiano a few years ago, but they have to talk. So Lee's got him, and he's throwing the jab. He's throwing the hook. He's got him.
Well, what's interesting, this is another Bucks angle. Same situation. They generally have the Super Bowl media day at a local NHL arena. And if that town doesn't have an NHL arena, they shove you on a basketball court. And that's like real cramped because you've got anywhere from 1,700 to 2,400 reporters jammed on a basketball court. You can imagine what that's like. So anyway, most of the guys are built like me. So it's not like a bunch of Hooters calendar girls, you know? Although that would be a pleasant... at any rate. Jim Schwartz, defensive coordinator for the Eagles. When Cutter was hired, I was beating a drum. I beat the drum so much I broke it. Hire Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator. And he was out there. Well, of course, Cutter hired his buddy because he had a handshake agreement when they both left Atlanta that one would hire the other. Whoever got the job first would hire the other as a coordinator. So I asked Jim Schwartz. I said, hey, man, did you ever have any interviews? Do you have any contacts? You know, when the Bucks hired Cutter, do you have any inclination that maybe you would have been interviewed or maybe get the job? Because you were available. You were out there. He didn't want to answer, but he politely said, I really don't want to go there. I just want to talk about the Super Bowl. Have you got any questions for the Eagles or how we're going to prepare for the Patriots? I'll answer that, but I'm not going to discuss anything outside of that. So to me, I was like, no, I wasn't asked.
I got a question for our special guest here, Stephen. David? Is there a danger? Is there a danger, and you're speaking directly to the Glazers now on this podcast, that apathy is run so rampant, and you can speak to that as a fan, that they are pushed to the point, we got to have a splash hire, and it's not the right hire. Is there a danger in that?
I mean, there's a danger, and the sad thing is I've kind of bought into that. You know, I'm just so tired of the Bucks being, you know, irrelevant. Nationally, you step out of the Bay Area, no one cares about the Bucks. They're a joke. Lee says Cleveland South. That's not being fair to Cleveland. You know, Cleveland's
they made more strides than the Bucks.
They're a way better organization, you know, than the Bucks are. You know, I think we all want a splash hire to make us relevant, make the Bucks relevant nationally. So you're seen on, you know, the four-letter network, whatever.
But you know ultimately it's wins.
You talk about Winston, what's going to rehab his image wins?
Wins.
If he wins, he'll be just fine. Just like Roethlisberger was and some of these other guys that got into trouble off the field. If you win.
Kobe Bryant.
Great example. We also bought a pretty big diamond ring, too. That kind of helped.
Any advice to the Glazers going forward about the hiring process?
I guess it's easy to say you gotta finally get it right. You know, it's just been going on for too long. Every hire, they obviously think they got it right at the time, but you really got to get it right. This is going on. The last playoff win was, the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
So we're going to be going on 17 years very soon, next year. So
it's the lost generation. Dave, I'm curious, as a fan, knowing yourself as you know yourself, you just told us all that you're a Winston guy. You don't want to see him go and succeed somewhere else. You want to, you know, keep him around and see what happens next year, new regime, whatever. Do you feel like you would have a very short hook on Jameis next year yourself if you could put yourself as a fan next year? The Bucks are 4-7, and Jameis has been up and down with the new coach. Do you feel like you'd throw in the towel quickly, or you feel you're even more long-term? How do you think you'd react to a rough year next year?
I think it depends on how it happens. I mean, if you're losing games when you're scoring 32, 35 points because your defense is a sieve, that's different. But if you're scoring, you know, or not scoring in the second half like the last
the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, that's different. So I think it's all about performance. How does he look? No one can win games with a defense the Bucks have been trotting out there under Mike Smith. I mean, you can't. Yeah. You know, I heard a stat. Winston hasn't won a road game in like 2 years. That's insane.
I can't remember how many of those games the Bucks defense coughed up 30 points. And off the top of my head, he had Buffalo beat. He had Green Bay beat in a defense in the fourth quarter. And defense turns right around and vomits.
And you know where that streak started? Dallas. Right, Steve?
Yes.
Right in Dallas. That's the first game of the streak.
Well, I was just curious because I know fans who are in Jameis's camp, I'm always just curious, how much are they going to give him next year? How much rope will he get if he's a little bit inconsistent? I'm worried that the town's going to turn on him if he's a little inconsistent with a new coach and coordinator, which would almost be normal in some ways. It's a tough spot.
I think part of the problem is you look around the league and you see the Mahomes, you see, you know, Wentz,
Goff.
You know, Goff. I mean, all these young quarterbacks in years two and three that are winning. And you look at Winston, now it's going to be year five. And so when is it okay? He's not a young quarterback anymore. He's kind of a veteran. So at what point do you say, look, he's just, you know, he is what he is. And you just got to eventually move on. But, you know, next year, that's what the fifth year option is for. You got him, you know, kind of on the cheap. You don't have to commit to him long term. And I think you got to roll. But next year is the decision year.
Since we're already looking ahead to next year, as a fan watching the team suffering, quick answer, first and second round picks, what would you like to see the Bucks do? Forgetting that, yeah, they got to address some things in free agency. Where do you want this team to draft right now?
So we're assuming Jameis is on the team.
Jameis is on the team.
It's obviously the defensive side of the ball. I think that the secondary is a joke, but as Lee says, who's going to develop these guys? You know, I mean, you can
a new regime.
I hope, because they haven't shown they can develop anybody in the secondary. So, you know, the defensive line is getting old. I mean, how many more years does Gerald have? You know, JPP is a great find, but he's getting up there.
Right.
Hopefully Vita will continue to come on, but you need a top defensive line. I mean, this game's all about pass rush. And so if you're not getting to the quarterback, you're not going to win games.
Nobody can cover in this league.
No,
nobody can't cover.
But the rules, you can't. I mean, some of these calls on Mike Evans, they're phantom pass interference calls. I mean, he's just, I forget what game it was, he threw like a pick, but he didn't even touch the guy, and they're flagging him on for offensive pass interference. So, yeah, if you can't get to the quarterback, you're done.
All right, Ira, before Lee mentioned getting punched, he thought he was going to get punched. You know, in the Christmas spirit, have you ever felt like you were going to get hit by a guy?
The only time I ever got punched right in the jaw was my brother. My brother Barry, 4 years older. He packed a wallop. I was probably about 11. He was 15. I don't even know what I did to piss him off. I think I took his Riesling or something. I don't know what the hell I did. Doc, you know, growing up in Brooklyn, it makes you strong, David. You aren't in the Big Apple. But anyway, my answer.
You never felt like anyone was going to hit you in a locker room?
Well, maybe Carter a couple of times, but in the locker room, no. But I was witness to the Stroud-Aqib Talib showdown. That was quite a moment when Grello was in there and he didn't know what to do. So I relished that moment.
What happened with this?
Yeah, sure.
Well, Stroud wrote something about Talib and, you know, critical, and Talib read it, or somebody read it to him. And when Stroud came into the locker room, Talib made a big deal about it, and there he is. He's talking to another player. He's pointing to Stroud. Don't talk to that guy. Don't trust that guy. And one thing led to another, and it was almost a confrontation. To Stroud's credit, he didn't back down. My money's on Stroud in that fight. How do you like that?
Now this is what I heard. I don't know if you were there. I was not. But someone who was there told me this. That Stroud walked in the locker room, and I think it was after he wrote an article where he basically said Talib's days with the Bucks were done. They're over. And they weren't. Supposedly, the minute Stroud walked into the locker room, Talib starts yelling at him, "There's MF and Rick Stroud. MF and Rick Stroud," although he didn't use the acronym. "Mother Rick Stroud." And
I think we're lucky that Talib didn't have access to a handgun at that moment. You know, with his history.
Or a helmet.
Or his mother wasn't around.
Did he hit a cabbie?
Punched a cabbie.
But didn't he also swing a helmet in practice?
That was Donald Penn, wasn't it?
He swung a helmet at Donald Penn, but it hit Torrey Cox, and that's how it went down.
No punches in the locker room.
Interesting.
Steve, you can edit this out if I'm going to speak out of turn. But there was a certain bar in Clearwater. It was that happened in nightclub for a while there. And at the time, training camp was training camp. And so training camp was over with, so they decided, the Bucks players, to go to this certain bar. A lot of Bucks players got hammered there, including Talib. And he was getting out of hand. He's throwing glasses. The people at the bar, it's a high-end bar. People are like, "Hey, knock it off, you know, chill out." And Tlaib whips out a roll of hundreds and starts throwing hundreds on the floor. Oh, yeah, and he was cussing. He's like, I got an effing taken care of. I got an effing. He wasn't saying that. But at any rate, he was just throwing $100 bills around, not making it rain, but it's like, you know, I got it covered. I got it covered. Well, he threw him out of the bar because he was getting out of hand. Hour and a half after he got thrown out of this bar is when he rabbit punched the cabbie.
You know, he's still a goofball. He's still a goofball. Good player.
Well, he told me at one of these Super Bowl media days, I actually got sort of a one-on-one with him. And he told me, he goes, I don't blame the Bucks for getting rid of me. I was a head case. I was an idiot. He said, I still like the Glazers. The Glazers still like me. We still talk. I get along with them. I still have a house there. Now, this was when the Broncos were in the Super Bowl, so we're talking 5-6 years. But he said, he goes, I don't blame the Bucks for getting rid of me. I burned both ends of the stick, man. I burned every chance I had with them.
You think Tlaib calls Joel Glazer and say, Joel, man. Yeah, you think it, no, but actually, you know what? It's funny. You mentioned maybe somebody read the story to Tlaib. Actually, somebody from the Bucks told me when Tlaib was on the team, and it was not a joke, that Tlaib was extremely well-read, that he was known for reading books that you never would have imagined Aqib Tlaib would be reading, and he was an avid reader. Not the guy you would
read
think.
He read the Trib cover to cover, David.
He still has the strangest voice I've ever heard from an NFL player.
Yeah, he's a cross between Mike Tyson and somebody else. I don't know.
Anyway, we'd like to thank Mr. David Wenk for stopping by.
You've called him Dave. You've called him David. You've called him Doc. Wenk. You've called him Mr. David Wenk.
He answers by many names.
You've got six names for everybody, Ira. Get it together, man.
Dave, anything you want to say about this crazy podcast in general? I know it brightens up your mornings or sometimes your evenings, depending on when it's been posted.
So you mean the Tuesday podcast that brightens up my Thursday and the Thursday that brightens up my Saturday?
Beautiful, Doc. Beautiful.
It's the world of the podcast, you know. You take it when it comes, right? All right, well, we appreciate you joining us. Appreciate all your support at JoeBucksFan.com.
He's got a great story. He can't leave without this story.
Which one?
You were at New Orleans, the season opener. You had a suite. And
you noticed some Buck fans nearby.
So we're... If anyone's ever seen me, I'm an embarrassment to be around during Bucks games, especially when they're winning. I politely talk trash, let's put it that way. And
the Bucks were having a hell of a
day. What was the score at one point? It was 48-24. It was almost doubling up the score.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, beer's flowing a little bit heavier when that's happening. So the suite next to us is a bunch of, obviously, Saints fans, but there are these two Bucks fans, like, sitting in a little huddled little corner. It's almost like it's pouring rain, and they're trying to stay warm in a corner. Everyone else is looking at him, and so finally, this guy comes down in there and literally kicks him out of the suite. They see him walking out.
They got nowhere to go.
No, and this is, you know, I'm talking trash to them and screaming the whole game. And so I asked, I said, well, what's going on? He's like, the owner just kicked us out because we're Bucks fans. So you got to be kidding me. You know, you're there. You got the tickets. And so, anyways, it brought him into our suite and we partied there.
I don't understand how they kicked out Joel and Brian like that. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
But it's like you rescued a couple of stray puppies on the sidewalk.
Exactly.
So you brought them in from the
court. Brought them in and they were just yelling at them the whole rest of the game. It was great. It was great.
Dr. Wenk, I always give Ira a chance to close the podcast with his profound words. What would you like to tell 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 Bucks fans right now?
Get ready for the draft. I hate to say it. No,
we're
all
approaching a new year, Dave. It's a new year, you know.
That's all we ever have look forward to. It's a new year, new regime. And I'll tell you, if there's not a new regime, I don't know where we're going to go. I expect Black Money to be a sunny day in Tampa Bay.